Okay, we are up to, let's begin, everybody, let's begin. Okay. We are up to Perich Chavav. We are up to Pasuk Chaf. Okay, but before we do Pasuk Chaf, I want to go back for a moment and just review some important midrash. In fact, let's just read through the Pesukim again. Let's read through the Pesukim starting with Pasuk Tezayin. We're not going to go through the Mefarshim. I just want to read through the Pesukim to get familiar again with the content and the context of what the Medrash we're about to learn. So let's start with Pasuk Tezayin. Vayom, Vayom, Ruhasarim, El Cholam, El HaKoyanim, El HaNaviim, the Sarim and the Am. Okay, so this is the defense. These people are here are coming to defend Yirmiyahu. They're coming to say that it's not right that we should put him to death. And though we mentioned yesterday over here the word ha'am, the people, the population, in the previous Pesukim, the Am was associated with the Nevi'e Sheker and the Kohani Habal. The people in the meantime, in between this Parsha Stum, if you notice that there's a little empty space here, in this empty space the people went home and they thought about it and they came around to realize that they're on the wrong team and they switched sides. They switched sides to support Yirmiyahu. This is a very great credit to the Hamoinam. The Hamoinam here are now also coming to defend. Popular opinion was that Yirmiyahu should not be put to death. So what did they say? They said, Ein lo ish hazeh mishpat moves. He is not deserving of death. Ki b'shem Hashem elokim diberi lehim. Because he spoke in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is a prophet. Pasuk Yud Ches. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayikumu anashim yizignei ha'aretz vayamu el kol kahal ha'am leimar. And people rose up and they made the following defense. They made the following statement to defend Yirmiyahu. They said it's not the first time we had a Navi warn us that something bad is going to happen, where the Navi went against popular opinion. What's the precedent? Micha ha'marashti. Micha, from the city called Marashti, Hayaniba b'mei Yechizkiyahu, he gave over prophecy in the days of Yechizkiyahu, Melech Yehuda, Vayomer el kol ha'am Yehuda leimar, and this is also against popular opinion, Koyamar Hashem Tzivakos, Tzion. Now this is the reason why we are reviewing, because we want to review this pasuk. Over here is Micha is saying over here, Koyamar Hashem Tzivakos, Tzion Sodeh Secharesh. Tzion will one day be a field that will be plowed, the Yerushalayim Iyim Sihyeh, and Yerushalayim will become a wasteland. The Harabayis Levamos Yor, and the Harabayis will be a mound of rubble in the forest. And in these days, He Homeis He Misuhu Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda V'chol Yehuda, when this person Micha gave over harsh words of prophecy, was he put to death? Did Chizkiyahu, the king, put him to death? V'chol Yehuda, and the whole Yehuda, Haloi Yorei HaShem. But Adarava, Chizkiyahu was a Yorei HaShem, V'yichal Esmei HaShem, and Chizkiyahu was mispalo to HaShem, V'yinochim HaShem, HaShem relented, Al Hora'ah, Asher Dibir Alehem, V'anachnu, and therefore, if we are not going to follow the ways of Chizkiyahu, and we're going to kill Yirmiyahu, instead of let him live like Chizkiyahu allowed Micha to live, V'anachnu oisim ro'ah gedoyla al nafshenu. Okay, so these are the words of Micha. That's what we got up to yesterday. Let's just go further. V'gamish hoya misnabi v'shem Hashem Uriya ben Shemayahu b'kiryas yarim. There was another person that delivered prophecy to the people in the olden days, and his name was Uriah ben Shemayahu Mikiryas Hayarim Tayinabe al Huir Hazos Fel Aritz Hazos Kholdiri Hayirmiyahu, and he said exactly the same thing as Yirmiyahu. He said exactly the same thing. Vayishma Hamelach Yehoyakim v'chol okay, let's go further. Vayishma Hamelach Yehoyakim v'chol Gibayrav v'chol Hasarim Estivarav Vayivakesh Hamelach Hamiso. And the pasuk here says that Uriah was a wanted man. He said these harsh words, and Yehoyakim became aware, and he wanted to kill him. Vayishma Uriah vayirah. Uriah heard that he was a wanted man. He was afraid. So what did he do? He escaped. He defected. Vayivrach vayavoy Mitzrayim. He went down to Mitzrayim. Pasuk habeis vayishlach hamelach Yehoyakim anash Mitzrayim. So he chased after him to Mitzrayim. As who did he said he sent? As El Nosan ben Achbar, El Nosan ben Achbar, va'anashim ito El Mitzrayim, and the people with him to Mitzrayim. Va'yotziuhu es Uriah mi'Mitzrayim. They extracted Uriah from Mitzrayim. Va'yiviuhu El Hamelach Yehoyakim. Va'yakeu becharev, and he was executed. They extradited him and they executed him.
They kidnapped him.
Whatever it was. Three different words. Kidnap, extracted, and extradited. Three different opinions here in the Koilo as to what exactly they did. Three opinions. Vayakeva v'chodef. Vayashlech es nevlosai el kivei be'sa'am, and they threw his carcass. What?
B'nei
ha'am. El kivei b'nei ha'am. Ach yad achikam ben shafan hoysafan. This is what they did to Uriah. So we mentioned over here. We mentioned over here so far two people. We mentioned over here Micha. Micha goes back about 200 years. He got away with it. And we mentioned Uriah who lived in the time of Yirmiyahu, who did not get away with it. And then we have over here one last thought. Ach yad achikam ben shafan. Now who is Achikam? Achikam is a famous person. Gedaliah ben Achikam. This was the father of Gedaliah. Gedaliah was going to be the appointed leader after the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So this is his father. Ach Yad Achikam ben Shafan Chaysa Es Yirmiyahu Levilti Teso So Biyad Ha'am Lahamiso. So it appears that Yirmiyahu would have suffered the same fate as Uriah. And the only reason why he survived was because he had someone good hiding him and defending him and protecting him, this influential person. That's the only reason why Yirmiyahu did not suffer the same fate as Uriah. Okay, let's see the psukim from where we're up to, starting with Pasik Chaf in the Mitzudos David, the Gam Ishaya Misnabei. In addition to Micha, who prophesied 200 years ago and survived, there was another person that was not so lucky. His name was Uriah ben Shemayahu, who was killed in the time of Yirmiyahu.
Micha lived so long?
What?
Micha lived so long?
No, he did not. Micha died. No, it's just a record of what happened. Micha did not live that long. It's just a record that it was something, there was a legal precedent. This was part of the defense. Micha also said words that were not popular. He said, in fact, some of the harshest words. Tzion sadeh techaresh, and yet he survived. And yet Adarabba, the king, took his words seriously and was mispalel under tshuva. So too, that's what we should do instead of kill Yirmiyah. In addition, there was a person living at this point in time. His name was Uriah. The Gam Ish Haya Misnabe, Elo Divre Hakohanav Hanavim Shamu Mazu Eidus Uroyas. So this Pasuk, according to the Mitzudos, is now the prosecution. They're saying back to the people, to the Sorei Ha'am, how dare you defend Yirmiyah by saying that Yirmiyah should be no different than Micha? Adarabba, Yirmiyah should suffer the same fate as Uriah. You want to bring a legal precedent from this case? I'll bring you a legal precedent from a different case, a case that's more recent. There was another person who also had a chazak as being a Navi Hashem, and he said things that were not popular. And the king Yehoyakim put him to death. Uriah was aware that he was a wanted man. He ran away, and that did not save him. The king sent after him people, and then he killed him. He extradited him, and he killed him by sword. And he threw his body on the graves of the Bnei Ha'am. He was not buried. He did not get his due. Nevi'im had a special plot in the cemetery, and Uriah did not merit to be buried among the kavaros of the Nevi'im. Below, kavu bikavuros hanevi'im ki chashu lemedaber sarah, because they considered him to be a false prophet, someone that speaks slander. So this was the conclusion of the words of prosecution by the people, and they said that Yirmiyah should be no different than Uriah ben Shemayahu, the roi lehamiso kamahu. Pasuk of Dalit. So why indeed did Yirmiyah survive? Why did he survive? Why was he better than Uriah ben Shemayahu? Because he had someone there defending him. He had a good lawyer. and the good lawyer was Achikam ben Shafan. Achyan Achikam kishamam. Divrei hakohanim hanaviim le'amru oyd hasodim davar. The Am Chazulios, when they heard the words of the Kohanim and Neviim, people that they did not, the son did not say anything. The Am Chazulios, them shachem achadas hakohanim hanaviim, and it appears, and indeed, the prosecution was about to win, and only because of the quick efforts of Achikam ben Shafan, the Achi Achikam Chaisa Yimir Yalevil Levli Lemosray Biyat Ha'Am LeHamisosal, he saved him from this lynching mob. So he gets a lot of credit. He's a very great tzaddik, this man. Achikam ben Shafan zochor latoiv. He did a very great deed. He saved Yirmiyahu from death from these people, and we know they would have killed him because they did kill him. How do you know? He wanted to hit me because he hit me. How do you know they were going to kill him? Because they did. They killed. How do you know they wanted? They would actually carry out the plan to kill Yirmiyahu because they killed his colleague. They killed Uriah ben Shemayahu. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi, there is none. We did all of. There is a Rashi. Pasachaf agam yehaya yishay misnami miish am. Now here, Rashi just points out that Pasachaf is not a continuation. The Mesudos did the same thing, but in a more subtle way. Pasachaf is not a continuation of Pasuk Yutes. Pasuk Yutes concludes the defense of Yirmiyahu, and Pasuk Chaf begins the prosecution. Mi ad kan, mish amar zo, loy amar zo. Everything that it says in this parak, in this section, until Pasuk Chaf was said by those that wanted to execute, wanted to save Yirmiyahu. And now, starting with Pasuk Chaf, we are beginning the defense. Mish amar zo, loy amar zo. Ad kan divrei hatzadikim. The Amdu Rishayim Shayusham, and now the wicked that were there, they got off the Amdu, they said, Gam Ish Misnabe, Kishem Shuyu Nerag, just like Uyu was killed, Yehoreg Yirmiyah should be killed, Kach Mufurish Bissifrei. That's how this Pasuk is explained over there. Radak Pasukhaf, Gam Ishayim Misnabe, Kalaimar, Ma Eda Zushatem Idim Ki Chiskiyahu Lohim Yiso, Shakishayim Misnabe Ra'ah. What kind of defense is this? You want to save Yirmiyah because Yirmiyah should be no different than Micha? Adraba, Hine Yehoyakim Melech Yehuda Kimohu. Yehoyakim has the same status as Chizkiyahu. Now that's a pathetic thing to say, but you know, this is really a running commentary on, unfortunately, on many things in this generation, where people say that the Gedolim of this generation, certain people who are totally unqualified to render halachic decisions, they say they're just as good as the Gedolim of the previous generation. I once heard on the tape, I was shocked, a certain person, whose name we will not mention, he said he quoted a psak from Chaim Oizer Gudinsky. Rav Chaim Oizer Gudinsky was the Gadol Hadar, was the Pesek Hadar, the Gadol Hadar. It's unreal to study who he was and his influence. And this person who is... Listen, who am I to say? I'm a total nothing. But to me, my opinion, this guy is a nothing. He's a nothing, this person, in any standard. And he quotes this tshuva, he goes through the whole lumdus of what Rav Chaim Oizer did. It's psak halach, it's a very common halachic issue. And he goes through the tshuva of the whole give and take. And then he says, but you know, I have a different opinion. I argue that this should be the halacha, and this is my psak halacha. Excuse me, who are you? Who do you think you are? I don't even know if you have smicha. I don't know if you ever learned in yeshiva. Who are you to come along? Where are your qualifications to come and be chaylik on Chaim Oizer, on his psak halacha? It's just absurd, the chutzpah. To say such a thing like that. Mm-hmm. I once heard a person do the same thing with Rashi. I mean, you know, people that are shunned, they quote Rashi, and then they say a machshava, a rayon. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says something, and you come and you're saying something different than Rashi. So it's not a kasha. So Rashi, of course, is the rabban shall call Yisrael, and there's just a certain way you present a machshava or rayon al derech drush, but not a chas v'shalom, the ki hu zeh to take away from the greatness and from the ikor. There's the ikor and there's a machshava of machshav drush. You can say something even though it's not really what Rashi says. But then you can have people that say Rashi is dead wrong. He's dead wrong. He didn't know what he was talking about. He's very limited. He didn't have the and he wasn't aware of this. Rashi was wrong, and I'll tell you the pshat. Someone else on the table talk like that. It's absurd. It's totally absurd. So here, it's very interesting. Is that that's really what the Radakal is saying with this Rishoyim? That's exactly what they're doing. They're coming to equate Yehoyakim with Chizkiyahu. How dare you? Chizkiyahu was from the greatest tzaddikim who ever lived. He was the Melech. Mm-hmm. Yehoyakim is a Rasha. It says clear as day. It says that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to bring the world to the Maisa Bereishis, to bring the world back to Toiva Vahu. When he looked at Yehoyakim, and it's only because of the zuchus of the generation where tzaddikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu withheld himself and did not destroy the world. But yet, the Gam Ish Hayim Esnabe, rulers of the Radakov, and the Radakov is learning Pshat in this Pasik, the wishes, the wickedness of these people. It's not only that they're wicked, they're foolish. How, Chazal say that, that a person who's a Rosh is also a Shaita. How can you go and equate, make this argument? I'm telling you, the people that Sadiq were giving you a press, and look at Micha. Micha, who lived 200 years ago, he delivered words of prophecy that were not popular. And Chizkiyahu, who is the Melech, at Sadiq, he took his words seriously. He listened to him against popular opinion, and he did tshuva. And the whole Klal Yisrael was saved. They survived for another 200 years. So Yirmiyah is also the same thing. Yirmiyah is saying the MS, we should do tshuva. And they say back, no, just the opposite. Yehoyakim is on the same madrega as Chizkiyahu. And then there was a person by the name of Uriah ben Shemayahu, and he said words that were not popular, and he was killed. He was killed by a melech who was on par with Chizkiyahu. It's foolish. It's nonsense to say such a thing, to go equate Yehoyakim with Chizkiyahu. But that's exactly what they did. And technically, they can say, you're right, this is on the books. He's a melech and he's a melech. So they're both exactly the same. Shmuel, Yiftach b'doroi, Kishmuel b'doroi. It's the halachic statement is true, but obviously there are other things that have to be taken into consideration. So look at the words of the Radak inside. V'gam, ha ish haye misnabe klamar ma edu zushate mi idim ki chizkiyahu lo himiso kishay misnabe ra. What kind of testimony is this that you're giving me? What kind of precedent are you trying to prove from? Chizkiyahu did not kill Micha. Hine yehoyakim melech Yehuda kamohu. He's on the same madrega. Uvizos hashana, and this very year, Horag Uriah. He killed Uriah ben Shemayo, Lufisho hayim esnabe ra kamo Yirmiyahu. V'gam Yirmiyahu yehoreg. And therefore, let this serve as a legal precedent to kill Yirmiyahu. Pasuk of Aleph. So when this person Uriah was aware that he was a wanted man, he escaped. He fled. Vayira biyud. He was afraid. Vayira means afraid. A son. Biyud, just like you have the word Eson Moshavecha. Eson means mighty. The word. So what is he trying? Biyud. I'm sorry. Biyud Eson means Biyud Eson. Let me see the
pause. Actually, I think Master, it should have been 2 years. Vayira should have had 2 years.
Yeah, fear.
So Yud Hashor and Levitz Mehatzah.
The Yud Hashor,
so there's a Yud Eson. I don't know what that means exactly, but the other Yud is missing.
Where should there be a Yud?
Vayi. Two Yuds.
Vayira. Okay, Vayira. The Yud Eson. So I think Eson means a powerful Yud. A powerful Yud which takes the place of two Yuds. Of two Yuds. There's a dot. Maybe what he means, Eson, means when you have a dogish in the Yud. Sometimes when you have a dogish, that's a rule in grammar. When you have a dot in a letter, sometimes it serves as a double letter.
Right.
So there's a yud, a son, a powerful yud, which means it has a dot. V'yud ha-sharish ne'lemes minak sav, and that allows us to be missed, allows us to leave out one of the yuds. Okay, el no son, mil achasi. So this word, pasuk of beis, it says, v'yishlach ha-melech yehoyakim anashim mitzrayim el no son ben achbar. S. Who did he send? He sent this person. His person was El Nosan, that's his name. It's Mila Achas, he, that's the name of a person. Okay, now before we continue, right, it's not El Tunasan, it's S El Nosan. Do not be confused. I think it's a mistake and it's either L or S. No, it's that's his name. S, who did he send? He sent this person whose name was El Nosan. Ben Achmar. Okay, now let's go to discuss one medrash. And this medrash is a very popular medrash in the Sefton Makos. And let me read you in the middle of the medrash. Now it's a Gemara Masechta Makos. Here I'm reading it from a medrash in Eicha Rabba. It's not the same thing. The words are slightly different. There must be some important implications of the difference of expression, but it's pretty similar. So the Gemara says Pamacheres. Okay, for the different stories with Rabbi Akiva and his friends. Pamacheres, Hayolcha Olam LiYerushalayim, famous Gemara, the last Gemara Masechta Makos. They were going to Yerushalayim. Yigiyu LeTzoifim. They reached Har Tzoifim. Right, that's the place today when they take you on a tour where you can see the Kosel, and that's where many people do Kriya. The Karu Bigdehem, and they write Kriya when they saw that the Beis Hamidrash was Charaf. Hegiyu L'Har Habayis. They came to the Har Habayis of Veron. They saw Shu'ol. They saw a fax. Echad Yotzim Beis Kosh Yakadoshim. Hischilu Heim Boichim. So the Rabbanim began to cry. Rabbi Akiva Misachek. You always are surprising us. You continuously surprise us in your conduct. Anu boichem, you are crying. The anu boichem, we are crying. The atom is sachek, and you are laughing. What is going on here? We see a fox coming out of the Kodesh HaKodashim. It's appropriate to cry. Why then are you laughing? Omar lohem. So he said to them, Atem, let me ask you the question. The Jewish way to answer a question is to ask a question, to turn the tables. That's what Trump's advisors do. You ever see what goes on? All these people, and every time they ask a question, they turn the tables. They ask the moderator, they ask the people the questions. Atem boichem, why are you crying? Why are you crying? Amuloi. So they said, V'loi nivkeh. Makam shakasa boy azar hakrev, you must harash shul yotzim mitaychayiv. All of this came upon us. Al har tzion sheshamein shu olim holchubo. They answer the question right. Should we not cry? A rhetorical question. So three questions. That's a very good point. There are three questions in a row. Okay. Amalachem. So he said to them, Af ani l'kach ani misachik. That's exactly the reason why I am laughing. Harehu aymer voida. Now here's the part that we need. Voida li edim ne'emanim. Hashem said, I want to testify on my behalf. Hashem is calling two witnesses to come forward and to testify. Edim ne'emanim. Who are they? Es Uriah Hakohen v'Zechariah ben Yivarech Yahu. So if you're at your wedding, if you ever go to a wedding and you need kosher witnesses and you have a hard time finding kosher witnesses because everyone is suspect on shenanigans, on who knows what, so you should know the best kosher witnesses in the world are not Moshe of Aaron.
Young guys.
We had that discussion. It's Uriah HaKoyen and Zechariah ben Yivarech Yahu. They're the best because what?
Uriah
HaKoyen. Uriah HaKoyen, because the Pasuk says, Hashem says, these are the witnesses. I want these two people to come and testify. If Hashem is designating these two people as witnesses, obviously they're very good, they're very kosher people. So they serve as a model for us to know, to study their lives, to know what it means to be a good person, to be a kosher witness. Now, so this is the pasuk in Yeshaya. So Rabbi Akiva, he asked the question, why did the Kadosh Baruch Hu summons Uriah and Zechariahu, especially when they did not live in the same time? Zechariahu lived way before. Zechariahu lived in the time of Yeshaya. He lived in the time of Micha, way, way back, 200 years ago. Uriah is the one that we just learned about. Uriah ben Shemayahu. It's the one that we just read about. What? No, Zechariah. No, it's a different Zechariah. That's a different Zechariah. The Zechariah that was killed was Zechariah ben Yehoyada. Not to be confused with Zechariah ben Yivarech Yahu. Ben Yivarech Yahu is a different Zechariah. Two different Zecharias. It's also called Ben Berachia. Ben Berachia in the Kinois, it says the Chazoin ben Berachia. And that's referring to Zechariah ben Berachia, not to be confused with Zechariah ben Yehoyada. V'chi ma inyan Uriah Eitzel Zechariah, Uriah b'mikdash Rishon. I made another mistake. This is not the Uriah. The Uriah over here is not the Uriah. Uriah b'mikdash Rishon, v'Zechariah b'mikdash Sheni. Zechariah I know from Sefer Zechariah. He was killed in the Bayis. The Nevuahs.
The problem is that it says over there that the Nevuahs were the same, and you can't have two of them being the same Nevuah.
Well, right, so they lived at the same time, not discussing when they lived. We are discussing, even though they also did not live at the same time, the Nevuah, the subject of the Nevuah. So the question Rabbi Akiva asked, why are these two being brought together? Their prophecy was a different subject. Uriah b'mikdash rishon, Uriah gave over prophecy in Mikdash Rishon, Zechariah b'mikdash sheni. Ela ma amar Uriah, what Uriah say? So here is something very interesting, what it says in the Medrash, which sheds light on the pshat of the pasuk. Ma amar Uriah, koy amar Hashem tzvakoy, siyoin sadeh seichareish, v'yushalayim iyim sihiyeh. What are you talking about? That's not the one. Uriah didn't say this. I'm quoting you a Medrash and a Gemara. Uriah is the one who said, koy amar Hashem tzvakoy. So it's the pasuk that we just learned. It says Micha. It says Micha ha'amoy rashti hoya niba b'mei chizkiyahu melech Yehuda v'yomer el kol am ha'yehuda lemar. It is explicit. Koy amar Hashem tzvakoy siyon sada seichareish v'yishlaim iyim tiyah. So what in the world? You learn this Gemara all the time. Sechlamakos. You go to a Sim Sechlamakos. Every Bar Mitzvah boy makes a Sim Sechlamakos. You ask the Bar Mitzvah boy, what in the world is he talking about when he quotes you this Gemara? And Uriah, the Gemara's Uriah, was the one that said Sin Basadat Echoresh. And here you open up a Pasuk. You open up the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, and you see it's not the one. Uriah is not the one that said it. It could not be more explicit that it was said by Micha. So what's going on? Well, the answer is, that's why you have to learn Navi, because when you go further, since it says v'gam ish, you see the meaning of these pesukim now. These pesukim have totally new meaning now. Pasukhov, v'gam ish. There was also another person. The prosecution. The prosecution said, "You're bringing a saraya from Uriah. I'll bring you a rai. I'm sorry, I'll bring a rai from Micha." Micha gave up a prophecy and was allowed to live by Chizkiyahu. We will say just the opposite. It was the person, Uriah, who said the exact same words. Even though, because notice here when it says V'gam, read again Pasuk Chaf, V'gam, Ish, Hoya, Mitznabe, B'Shem Hashem, Uriah ben Shemaya, B'Kiryas Hayarim, V'Yinabe, Alo, Ir HaZos, Yal, Eretz HaZos, Chol, Divrei, Yirmiyahu. So in other words, the pasuk here is telling us that he said the carbon copy. He said exactly the same words as, well, the whole divrei Yirmiyahu, but from the Gemara it's mashma. The Gemara had a tradition that the whole divrei Yirmiyahu included the words of Micha, Tzion basada techaresh, Tzion will be plowed like a field, and it will be turned into a heap of stone, into rubble. So even though the pasuk is saying like the words of Yirmiyahu, the fact that it says v'gam ish hayah misnabe, and we're comparing Uriah with the word v'gam to Micha, that is enough of an indication, enough of a connection to indicate that the words of Uriah were exactly the same words as Micha. Otherwise, how then do you make sense of the Gemara and the Medrash? How do you make sense of it? So this is what we learn from this Gemara. Now that presents a problem. Why is that a problem? Because we have a tradition, Ein Shnei Nevi'im Mitznabim B'Signun Echot. Even though two prophets will pick up the signal, but the signal is to be interpreted, to be elaborated and expressed differently. Every single person is different. Every single person is a different mind, has a different environment. And when every Navi picks up the signal, the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way it is expressed is always different. So you would never expect to have two Nevi'im saying exactly the same words. You have many Nevi'im, it's very fascinating to compare Yeshaya, Yecheskel, and Yirmiyah, and some of the Treyasar, to see exactly how they speak about the same exact event. There are certain events, they'll talk about, we're talking about Mashiach, coming of Mashiach, Yimos HaMashiach, Tchias HaMesim, or talk about the destruction of a particular nation, whether it's Edom, whether it's Ammon, whether it's Mitzrayim, and each Navi describes the Churban with different words, even though they both picked up the same signal, the same Shef of Nevuah, they express it differently. Here, in this example, is a very noticeable exception to this rule, because the Gemara is taking these words that were said by Micha and are putting it in the mouth of Uriah ben Shemayahu. And it doesn't say, and if you look in the pasuk, the one that said it was Micha. And the only way you can learn this is because the prosecution made an argument, V'gamish, there was another man. And in fact, it strengthens the prosecution. There was another man who said exactly the same words, and he was executed. So how...
At the same time?
What? No, they did not live at the same time. They lived 200 years apart. They lived 200 years apart, but they had the chutzpah to equate the king that killed one and saved the other to be equal. That's what we discussed before. But they lived 200 years apart, and according to the Gemara, they said exactly the same words. You can't deny that's what it says.
Why is that a kasha if it's two different generations?
Because you're not allowed to have one Navi. Two different Navi and give the same Navua. It doesn't work.
That's
it never would have happened. God wouldn't do that.
To
that's
do
what it says. Ain't Shnei Nevi'im.
Ain't Shnei Nevi'im. It's not Misi Nechad. This is the noticeable exception. Two Nevi'im are saying exactly the same words, even though. And now, it's also interesting is that you see Nevuah. It's 200 years apart. How many times that Kadosh Baruch Hu send down Nevuah? Well, you have to understand Nevuah is something that is purely spiritual, and by Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hoya, Hoyve, V'Yia are all one in the same. So it could be this one Shefa of Nevuah, but it's not subject to Zman. When a Navi connects himself with the other world, it's connecting himself with that same Nevuah, even though it's 200 years apart, because by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no such thing as time. It all morphs into one moment, into one event. And they're saying exactly the same words. So this Gemara also, it sheds light that it was a very, very powerful prosecution. It was a very powerful rebuttal. It's one thing you want to go say you want to argue we should save Yirmiyah's life because he's no different than Micha. So they say back, well, there's Micha and then there's Uriah. I mean, what kind of defense is? What kind of argument is that? Rebuttal is that Micha's Micha and Uriah's Uriah. Hayaluchud v'hayaluchud. Yirmiyah, who should we compare him to? But now that you say that they said exactly the same words, Mila b'Mila. Then it's a different story. You can't bring me a raya from Micha when Yirmiyah said exactly the same words. Okay, so then let me just finish up the Gemara. Once we really mention the Gemara, let's finish the Gemara. Uma Omar Zechariah. What did Zechariah say? Zechariah said that it was Zechariah ben Berachia, the Chazoin ben Berachia, Od Yeshu Zikenim Uzikenois Berchevos Yerushalayim V'ish Meshanto V'yada. Each individual will have in his hand a walking staff. Meiroiv Yamim due to old age, Uchsib Asrei, and it says afterwards, Urchevos Yimolo Yilodim Yilodos, Mesachakim Birchevos Secha, and the streets of Yerushalayim will be filled with children playing in the streets. So therefore, the question over here is, Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu Hareli Shnei Eidim Elu, Vim Kayam Divrei Uriah, Yu Kayam Divrei Zechariah, Vim Yivalu Divrei Uriah, Yivalu Divrei Zechariah. And the Rabbi Kiva said, Visimachli Shneskaimu Divrei Uriah. What?
No, yeah.
Right, this is what we call it. This is the Gemara Masech the Makos. I'm just quoting this is who we started in the Gemara. I'm finishing up the Gemara. So here, Rabbi Akiva explained to his friends the reason why I am laughing is because I'm quoting you a pasuk in Yeshaya, and the pasuk in Yeshaya calls two Nevi'im to come together, two different Edim, and the two Edim seemingly have nothing to do one with another, one with the other. And the answer why they're being joined is that when the prophecy of one will be fulfilled, automatically you can be guaranteed that the prophecy of the other will be fulfilled. And now that we watch a fox coming out of the Kodesh HaKodashim, we are certain that the prophecy of Tzion, Basad Techarish has been fulfilled, and we can be certain that this is going to be the trigger for the prophecy of Ben Berachia of Od Yeshu Zikanim Uzikanis Brichovos Yerushalayim. And when he said this to his friends, they said, "Makiva nicham tanu." Now here is a difference between the Gemara and the Medrash. In the Gemara, it says a double expression: "Makiva nicham tanu, nicham tanu." Here it says, "Makiva nicham tanu." You have given us comfort, and then they gave him a bracha: "Tisnachem biraglei mevaser." May you be comforted with the footsteps of the Mevaser, the one that will announce the coming of Mashiach. Okay, there are a lot of things, a lot of different points, but one thing we take out, we already discussed the first yisod that we take out of this Medrash, is that this pasuk, that we learn from this Gemara, that these words were expressed not only by Micha, Vigam, when the pasuk says here in Pasukha, Vigam, it was also said by Uriah. It means Uriah said exactly these same words. How did the Gemara know this? I don't know. The Gemara must have had a Messiah. There was a tradition that Uriah said the exact same words. Siyon basad techarish. Another thing so we take out of this is that
you
this.
Can say that's what they complained. Why are you comparing it to
Micho? Right. As I said before, that's why it's a very strong rebuttal. That's why it's a very powerful rebuttal. If Uriah said something different, so high luchud v'high luchud. But when you're saying it's exactly the same word, it's a very powerful.
That's the Masorah. Same words.
Same words. That's the Masorah. So he said exactly the same words. So why then don't bring me a proof that we should let Yirmiyah live? We can kill Yirmiyah because the exact same words were said by Uriah and he was indeed killed. Okay, this is one yisod we take out of this medrash. Another yisod we take out of the medrash is that this pasuk expresses rock bottom. This is the lowest thing. The lowest thing when a fox was coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, this was expressed by Rabbi Akiva as, oh, it has now been fulfilled. Tzion basoda, tzion. What were the exact words? Tzion Sodeh Sechoresh. It's the rock bottom. It cannot get worse than this. And that, I guess, is why it is the topic of conversation it's the subject of these people when they're trying to decide if they should kill Yirmiyah, Micha, and Uriah, because they've really touched the court. They've told Klal Yisrael, you just think there's going to be a little Chorban. The Churban is going to be so complete, it's going to reach the point where there's a fox coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That, again, that in our minds represents the lowest Klal Yisrael can possibly go. Now, why indeed is a fox coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim considered to be rock bottom? So here, Yechiel Michel Stern, he says, he quotes a Chazal, that we know there's something called Shiras, something called Perek Shira. We once spent some time, maybe we'll go back to that one day. We once spent some time going through a few of the psukim in Perek Shira, and we were in the middle, we never got stuck, we just somehow we abandoned in the middle. But there, the Perek Shira, it matches up a pasuk in Tanakh with every single type of creature in this world. And the fox, the shu'al, also gets a pasuk. And what is the pasuk of the fox? Oi, woe. Boine beiso beloy tzedek. Woe to the one who builds his house without tzedek. Now, why is that true for a fox? Sly like a fox. Right? That's the expression in English. You sly like a fox. The fox somehow was known to be very devious, very.
Right. And numerous chazal instances, mishalim. Have to do with that cleverness.
Fox, the cleverness of the fox.
The
so
fox
in other words,
is also a destroyer. Like in Shimshon.
He tied onto the tails of the foxes. He took the
fire.
Foxes, he tied them together, and he put on their tails, he put torches, and they burnt down the fields. But over here, Chazal focusing on one particular point is that a fox is very sly, it's very clever, it gets what it wants illegally. This is the nature, that's how Perek Shira is coming to define the essence, the mahus, the midos of the fox. It is a creature that gets what it wants by hook or by crook. It'll get what it wants. And it's a creature that does not know from tzedek. It knows it needs to get what it wants, one way or another. human beings are not supposed to behave that way. They're supposed to get what they want only through tzedek. One of the reasons why the Beis HaMikdash was charav, among the many long list of reasons, is Lecharva Yerushalayim Ela Shepasku Anshei Amana. People were no longer honest. Society collapsed. People were just looking to rip off fellow man. There was no integrity in society. So when they saw the facts coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it wasn't just, you know, it's a churva. So there are different types of churvas. There's a churva that's infested with rodents, and there are churvas that have foxes coming out. It's the worst type of churva. It's more, it's symbolic. It means the reason why the bias, the Beis HaMikdash, is in the matzav is because of the pasuk of Leparva Yerushalayim Ela Shepasku Anshei Amana. It represents that society is corrupt. The corruptness of society has reached such a level where there is not to be found people of integrity. There is no tzedek. There is no mishpat. And that's why it's destroyed. So this is what Rabbi Akiva expressed. This is the worst of the worst. It's not just that the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. We have seen here from HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaShkocha Pratis that the reason why the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed is because man has lost all sense of morals. Man has failed. Man has become corrupt. Okay, now the other thing I want to just point out is the bracha. You have to always look for bracha. Is that the ultimate bracha here is that the day will come when in the streets you'll find the zakenim and the zakenois and the children, and the yiladim and yiladois will be playing in the street. Why is that considered to be the ultimate bracha? So he says, he doesn't say this explicitly, but he quotes a gra. He alludes to this idea. It's not mamish what it says here, but Yeshaya, there's a famous chazal in Sefer Yeshaya. We learned this once upon a time, where Yeshaya cursed Klal Yisrael 18 times. He issued 18 klalas, and each klala was worse and worse, and Yeshaya would have gone on even more. It's just because he finally gave Klal Yisrael the ultimate klala. When he gave them the ultimate klala, he got it out of his system. His frustration was released, and then he was at peace with himself. What is the ultimate klala in society? It's where the children have no respect for the elders. The pasuk is, I read you the words Chazal v'zeh she'amru in the Masechta Chagiga and Daf Yud Aleph, Yud Ches Kilolos Kilel Yeshayahu Es Yisrael. V'loy niskara daita, he was not satisfied. Ad she'amar yirhavu nahar bezakein, the nahar will rise up against the zakein. Shiaklola hakosha mikulon v'kosha mikulon. Period. The Gemara explicitly says this is the worst klala in society, where the new generation, the young, have no respect for the old generation. Okay, so obviously it doesn't need an explanation. It's very partial. The whole society breaks down when there's no order. The ultimate bracha then, it's always going to be zel umazel bar elokim. So the ultimate bracha is where you have a generation and where the order has been restored, where the children have respect for the zakenim. In this pasuk that we're quoting, that he's quoting, you have that order. And that's alluded to the fact that the zakenim are sitting with the mishenes biyadai. They're sitting with the staff in their hand. You have to also understand that what's the bracha? It's Mashiach time, and the zakenim are all in the street with their walkers. Right? With their walkers. That's not a bracha. You don't want the zakenim to be in the street with their walkers. You want the zakenim to be vibrant. You want them to be healthy. You don't want them to be walking around with canes and things like this. The bracha is when Mashiach comes, the zakenim will be restored to a state of youth. A youth. So what? So the answer is that's in a chanami. When it says here the zakenim in the pasuk, they're going with the mishenes biyadai, it's not because they're shvach and they're tired and they're not and it's hard for them. It's a staff of kovod. Not that long ago in Europe, you go look at all the walking stick, but it's more. It represents power, dignity, and chashivas.
When you see a young person as the opening the door of an old person, could you say in Yiddish it's Mashiach Tzad?
It's Mashiach Tzad, because the young person is giving cover to the Zaken. So that's the bracha. This idea, I think, is a very powerful idea. Over here, we see over here rock bottom and the greatest and the biggest smile. Rock bottom is the fox. The fox represents corruption. Society is corrupt to the core. And what does Rabbi Akiva say? What is Zechariah, what is Uriah, who lived later, and talking about the Bayis Rishon doing with Zechariah that's lived 200 years before, that's talking about the Bayis, the Gula Hasida. We're talking over here about different worlds. In time, everything is all mixed up. Well, if the Nevuah of the ultimate rock bottom has been fulfilled, you can be certain that the Nevuah of the ultimate Baracha will one day be fulfilled. What is the ultimate Baracha? Well, to know what the ultimate Baracha, you have to first know what the ultimate Klala is. The ultimate Klala is what Gemara Chagiga Yeshaya said, that the children have no respect for the Zakenim. So what's the ultimate Baracha? Would the children have respect? Where do you see in this pasuk they having respect? Because it says in this pasuk, "Od Yeshu Zakenu Zakenus Rechavos Yerushalayim, V'ish, each healthy Zaken who is in picture of health and is strong, Mishanto Biyado, he has the staff in his hand, which means he's in charge. He's in charge. He's the balabas. He's the balabas, not the children. There's respect." Meroiv Yamim, due to the fact that he is due to experience and age, Uchsibasrei, and then the next pasuk says, and the children have respect. The children are sitting around the Zakenim with respect. And Ruchavosir Yimalu Yiladim U Yilados Mesachakim Ruchavosaha. The juxtaposition of the Yiladim and Yilados against the Zakenim with the Meshenes Piyado is an indication that the order of society has been restored to a healthy state of the young people having respect for the old people. And that, so we go from the extreme of the facts to the ultimate bracha of the restoration of society. Okay, now before we go further, there are some other interesting midrashim. Chazal say that, this is appropriate for this week's parsha. And this week's parsha, we have the Teichacha, but the Teichacha first begins with the brachas. And this pasuk is expressed both ways. Baruch atah bo'ir uvaruch atah basadeh. So the Medrash says, what does it mean, baruch atah bo'ir? The ear is Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim will be blessed. You, Klal Yisrael, will be blessed in Yerushalayim. Uvaruch atah basadeh. First, how do you know that Yerushalayim is the ear? How do you know it means the ear? Let me find the pasuk over here. Okay, Baruch Atah Bo'ir, how do you know? Because it says, Ho'ir has Yerushalayim Shnikres Ishnemar Hazois Ho'ir Sheyoimru Kalilas Yoifi. It's the Pasuk in Eicha. Is this the city that it was said about it time immemorial from years ago that it is the perfection of beauty? So you see from this Pasuk that the word ear refers to Yerushalayim. And then the Medrash goes on and says, Uvaruch atah basadeh zo tzion. Sadeh is a code word for tzion from the pasuk that we just learned. The pasuk that we just learned that says tzion sadeh secharesh. So this is fits very well into Yonad Yom of this week's parash. Now you listen to the question.
So we're both referring to the same thing.
So then the question is, what then is the difference between Yerushalayim, the age old question? What is exactly the difference between Yerushalayim and Tzion? Tough question to answer. So derech pshat, there is no difference. It's just two words which mean the same thing. But mefarshim give many different reasons. Different reasons. The pash one pshat is Yerushalayim usually refers to the physical city, the bricks, the stones, the streets, the infrastructure. Tzion refers to the spiritual quality of the city. And that sadeh, why is that fit to the word sadeh? Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh. Yitzchak, he went out to pray in the field. You see also that the sadeh is a makom of spirituality, a place where there's no distractions. A sadeh, there's nothing there. What's in the sadeh? The field, open area. It's a place to connect yourself to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So when it says ear, ear is the metropolis. All of the activity, all of the things are going on. The physical quality. Baruch atah bo'ir, you'll be blessed physically. Uvaruch atah basadeh, you will be blessed spiritually. Because sadeh is tzion. And tzion, tzion bas kesadeh techoresh. And sadeh is a code word for spirituality. It fits very well in the concept of tzion.
All of
what?
Mishkan
fits very well. The Mishkan kivodach, the Mishkan means your abode. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mishkan, yeah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is resting. Mishkan means to rest, the place where you are resting.
Is
your
the base of Midrash smaller than Yerushalayim?
Yes, it is. Yes, so it's a different. It's an
Echanami.
It's not a contradiction. It's just different words to describe the same concept of spirituality. Yerushalayim, more often than not, is associated with the physical elements of the city, and Tzion corresponds to the spirituality of the city. So, Enechanami, Rachem Al Yerushalayim Irecha, we're discussing the physical city, Al Tzion Mishkan Kivodecha. Mishkan means the place where your whole, your kavod is resting. Hashem is spiritual. So indeed, it fits very well into the benching as well, that Tzion represents spirituality. Other Mepharshim say something very simple. They say that Tzion represents a subsection of Yerushalayim. It's like the place of royalty, the Malchus. It's the neighborhood where only kings are allowed to enter. The whole city is for the Hamoy Naam, and then there is a section of the city, Ir David. I think the Mitzudos David himself says that Tzion means Ir David. In Yerushalayim itself, there's a small little subsection called Ir David that is called Tzion. Others say Tzion is like the Beis Hamikdash, but this is a general difference between the two. But I just want to point this out, that it fits very well here into this pasuk.
I don't know. So it should say first Eretz Yisrael and then Mokam HaMikdash. I mean, that's the order. First he brought Eretz Yisrael and then he gave it to the Beis HaMikdash. You know, why are you saying by Yeinu L'Mokam HaZeh?
Yeah.
And by Yidlon Eretz HaZois. The Seder should be a little different.
I don't know the answer. Okay, I don't know. Okay, we've got to think about it. Eino Chinami. Okay, with that in mind, let's now go forward. Okay, so we are up to beginning of Pasik Chof Zayin. Perak Chof Zayin. Breshis Mamleches Yehoyakim ben Yoshiyahu Melech Yehuda. In the beginning of the Mamleches of Yehoyakim ben Yoshiyahu Melech Yehuda, Hoyo Hadar Hazel Yirmiyahu Meis Hashem Leimar. Hashem gave him the following. So this is again is taking place exactly the same point in time, the same just like in the beginning of Perek Chavav. In Chavav it was Bereishis Mamlechus Yoyakim ben Yoshe Melch Yehuda. Exactly the same thing. Bereishis Mamleches. Now notice here it says Mamleches, and there it said Mamlechus. We have a difference of expression. Simply, they mean exactly the same thing, but there is something much deeper which I don't remember at this moment in time. Sorry. Maybe we'll come to it over here in the Radak, maybe. I think he talks about it. Okay. Bereishis mam leches yoyakim ben Yoshe melech Yehuda hoya hadavar hazeh, the following mes el yirmiyo me'ez Hashem lemar, that this is a very popular topic in Sefer Yirmiya, where he's told to make motos, the moseros and the motos, straps and bars, and to put them on his back. Now, this is very bizarre what this means. For 15 years, Yirmiyahu was walking around the streets with bars, these beams of wood, and straps wrapped around his neck and on his shoulders. Now, how big exactly were these things? Were they very small? Were they big? Did they weigh a lot? Was it very uncomfortable? It's not really clear, but no matter what it was, it's very bizarre. Do you ever see people, they walk around the street with these... What?
A backpack.
A back brace. Alright, let's see. Asei lecha, make for yourself moseros, ropes, umotos. Motos means hard bars. And this basically, I want you to make believe that you're carrying a yoke on your shoulder. Just like an animal is hitched to a plow or to a wagon with a yoke, it goes around the neck of the animal. That's what you should do in the Satam al Tzavarecha, and you should put it on your neck. Pasuk Gimel, Vishilachtam El Melech Edoim V'El Melech, five nations. And you shall send these bars. Send these bars and you put on your neck El Melech Edoim V'El Melech Moyav V'El Melech B'nei Amoyin V'El Melech Tzar V'El Melech Tzidoim. These were the five major states that surrounded Eretz Yisrael, Biyad Malachim, through messengers, Haboim, which come Yerushalayim, El Tzidkiyo Melech Yehuda, which will come, these messengers that come to Yerushalayim, to Tzidkiyo Melech Yehuda. Now you'll ask the question right away, what is Tzidkiyo Melech Yehuda doing here? It says in Pasuk Aleph that we are Bereishis Mamleches Yehoyakim. This took place 11 years before Tzidkiyahu. So this is discussed by all Mefarshim. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was revealing to Yirmiyahu at the beginning of the Malchus of Yehoyakim that his Malchus would not remain forever. It would be a temporary Malchus. He would come to an end and he would be replaced by his brother, Tzidkiyahu. So he's telling him now in advance what's going to happen 11 years later. And you should do this. V'tziviso oisam el Adonayhem, the messengers that come to Yerushalayim to visit Tzidkiyahu, to visit Tzidkiyahu from these five major states, you should intercept them and you shall tell them and you should show them the bars and ropes on your neck and you shall tell them, you shall command them, Vitzivisam el Adonayhem, go back to your country, go back to your king and say, Koyamar Hashem, Tzivakos Elokei Yisrael, Koy Saimu, so shall you say el Adonayhem to your masters. Anochi asisi es haaretz, I have created the earth, es haadam, I created man, v'es habehimo ashal pnei haaretz, b'koichi hagadol, through my great strength, uvizroi hanetuyo, my outstretched arm, unisatiyo l'asher yoshar be'inoi, I gave the land to whom I see fit. Notice, koyach mas of higi le'amo, this pasuk here touched upon the first Rashi in Chumash, that Hashem created the world, and I gave the world to whom, gave the land to whom I want. And here you have the same exact expression. The koichi hagadol. Next, v'yatah now. What is the message? Pasuk vav. Anochi nasati eskol haratzos so'ele biyad nevuchad netzar. We're back with the nun. Okay, notice the resh went away, and we're back with the nun. There must be some significance in that. Melech bavel avdi. I've given the land, I have decided the time has come where this land shall be given to Nebuchadnezzar. Therefore, basically what I'm telling you is to tell these five nations, surrender, surrender. It's coming a short period of time when Nebuchadnezzar, he's going to make his way to the region and he's going to attack, he's going to lay siege to these five major six states. Yerushalayim plus the five surrounding states. Hashem is telling Yirmiyah to go and give a message to Tzidkiyahu and give a message to these five kings that when Nebuchadnezzar comes, open up the doors and surrender. Why? I created the world. I gave you the ability to occupy the land until now, but now the time has come where you have to give it over. And that's the symbol of the motos. The motos represents accept upon yourself the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. Just like you take an animal, you hitch it to a plow, through a moat, and through a mosera, a strap, and a bar, that's what I want you to do. So I'm giving you a visual presentation, this is what you are to do. Now, did they do it? Of course not. Right? They didn't listen. And because they did not listen, that's why they were conquered and they were destroyed. The garment also, I've given it to Nebuchadnezzar, and you should know that Nebuchadnezzar, he is in control. Not only does he control man, he also controls the animals. The garment, Hayas HaSodeh Nasati Lo Le'ovdo, this man over here, he also has control over the animals of the earth. Nebuchadnezzar, this is a very important passage which we'll come to in the Midrashim. Nebuchadnezzar became a little too arrogant in his domination of the world, and therefore Hashem punished him for 7 years. He lost his mind. He lost his mind and he thought he was an animal. And he left his palace and he went out to the forest and he behaved like an animal. But he's still Nebuchadnezzar. So he wasn't just any animal. He became the king of the animals. And he learned during this period of time to become, to dominate over all the animals. In fact, it says Chazal that he would ride on a lion. A lion was his personal chauffeur, who would take him wherever he wanted, and he had the reins he would use to guide the lion was a scorpion, a poisonous snake. And when he was tired of holding as the snake, he would just wrap the snake around his head as part of his crown. And he thought he was an animal. Later, 7 years later, when his mind was restored, when the mental health professionals got a hold of him and restored the chemical imbalance in his mind and gave him some therapy. It's not a joke. I don't mean to be a joke. I have friends. It's not a joke. I don't mean that. But when his mental state was restored, he incorporated his talent of dominating over the world, over the animals, into his daily activities, into his malchus. So his malchus, this enhanced his malchus. Because now when he was the melech over the society, he would use the animals as his servants, as also to control the world. And that's what's in the specific. It was a blessing in disguise for him to lose his mind for these 7 years.
If he was an animal, why did they see punish for eating a rabbit? If he was one animal can eat another animal.
So somehow Hashem only punished him to that degree where he lost his mind, but he still survived. He miraculously survived those 7 years. The Avdu Osok, we're running out of time, so let's just read the pasuk and then we'll do the mafarshim tomorrow. The Avdu Osok Kol Agoyim, and Hashem here is telling him, giving instructions to Tzidkio and the five kings, to Yirmiyah, you're going to serve him. Kol Hagoyim, not only him, he's going to be given 70 years. V'yes Beno, V'yes Ben Beno, Evel Meroidach, and Ben Beno is Baal Shetzar. Ad bo ace arzo until the time bo comes, ace arzo gamhu, until the time comes when he also dies. Until the time of reckoning comes. Gamhu v'avdu bo goyim rabim umalachim gedolim, and when the day of reckoning comes, until his time comes. And when his time comes, then he will have to serve other nations. The next player is going to be Modai and Paras. They're going to be in control, and then everyone's going to serve him. Okay, now before we go for a little stop over here, one thing I want to point out over here is that we have a contradiction, Chazal, if the Ben Bino, if Baal Shetzar was the son or the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. From this pasuk, all the Mefarshim cite, you can't deny the fact that it's explicit as day that he was the grandson. It says Bino, Nebuchadnezzar, V'yes Beno, Evel Meroidach, V'yes Ben Beno, Baal Shetzar. So how could Chazal come along and say that Baal Shetzar, in some selected Midrashim, was Nebuchadnezzar's son? So they say something very fascinating, is that Nebuchadnezzar committed incest. He had relations with his daughter-in-law, the one that was married to Evel Meroidach, and fathered Baal Shetzar. So Baal Shetzar was both Ben Beno, and was Beno.
Like it
was,
Esav.
What? Like Esav also. Esav also, right? Amalek was also something like that. So that point is made by Mefarshim when it says here V'yes Ben Beno. Okay, so over here, basically over here, this is an Hakdama of the motives, the very important medrash called Chazal Mitlans, is that over here he's doing a visual presentation of wearing the yoke and the ropes upon his shoulder to tell the five nations, the five major states that surround Yerushalayim and Tzidkiyahu, the time has come to surrender. Of course, no one surrendered. Not the five states, and not Tzidkiyahu, and that's why everyone was conquered and obliterated and sent into exile. Another important point is, over here, why does it say that these five states are coming to Tzidkiyahu? Why the conferences, where they took turns? Every year there's a conference, and they took turns where the conference was. Why are these five states subordinate to Tzidkiyahu? And the answer is, in Echnan, when Nebuchadnezzar came and he conquered and he appointed Tzidkiyahu, he made Tzidkiyahu a leader of the region. There were six major states in the region, and Nebuchadnezzar told all of these kings, the one in charge, you're all kings, you all have your own country, but the one that is the leader of the five P, the say whatever you want to call these, the leader is going to be Tzidkiyahu. And that's why every so often representatives and ambassadors would come from these five states to Bedavka Tzidkiyahu. That's where the United Nations was. And that's why Yiriel was instructed to stand there and intercept them when they come and make this presentation. All right, we'll stop over here. We'll do the profession tomorrow.